My name is Gary Johnson. I preach for the Greenfield Road Church of Christ at 4325 South Greenfield Road in Gilbert, Arizona. When I was with you last, we talked about salvation by God's grace through faith that works the works of God. Today I want to talk to you about the idea that God calls us. Now, most of the time when you hear people start talking about the fact that God has called them, they begin to talk especially in the direction that their calling is in the direction of either a location. For instance, God called me out of New Jersey to Arizona, or the idea that God called me to a specific occupation, an air traffic controller, or perhaps a gospel preacher. But you know, it's interesting as we study the Bible. Now listen, I do not deny the providential care of God. But we see men like Abraham who were called out of Ur of Chaldea to a specific location. First of all, Haran in upper Mesopotamia. And then subsequently to what is referred to as the land of Canaan or the promised land. And we understand the promise of God through Abraham that brought us all the way down to his seed, which is the Christ. And that's why we talked about the salvation that was available by God's grace. The unmerited favor toward mankind in sin in regard to the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the one who died without sin on behalf of us all. But today I want to talk to you about how God calls us and what the Bible says more specifically about our calling. You see, there's nothing in the scripture that says Gary Johnson needed to be called from New Jersey to Arizona, although I recognize the providential care of God. But God does teach me about certain things in reference to his word and his calling of, yes, you and I. There are four calls in life according to the scripture of the New Testament. Three of those calls you and I must answer. There is one call that you are not required to answer, but you are encouraged to answer, the gospel call. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 and following, specifically verse 14, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, speaking of brethren who have already obeyed the gospel, beloved of the Lord, for that God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification and holiness of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you through the gospel. Sometimes people don't know what the word gospel really means. It means the good news, the good tidings, the glad tidings. That in fact God sent his son without sin, who died on behalf of all of mankind. And we'll talk about that some more. Whereunto he called you through the gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the teachings which you were taught, whether by word, Paul says, or by the letters that were written. That's the New Testament letters, of course, he's referring to. When we speak about those things, we're mindful, as I suggested in our last meeting, that salvation is available to all men. You see, it's made available by God, Titus 2 and verse 11. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. But guess what it says? Instructing us to the intent that we should deny certain things, ungodliness and worldly lust, and live a certain way, soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope at the coming of Jesus Christ, and yet maintaining the good works afore prepared by God that we should walk in. We talked about those things. He instructs us by grace. Salvation is the good news in that story of the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah that was spoken of so long ago. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's a condition associated with that. So he calls us by grace. But we have the opportunity to deny him the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Greek. Listen carefully when it talks about 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 through 25. Such an important passage. Again, Peter is writing to those who have already obeyed the gospel. They've already accepted God's call in reference to obeying the gospel. But listen to what it says in this passage. It's talking about being begotten again. You hear people say, oh, I've been born again. Well, how are you born again? Well, I accepted Jesus as my personal. That's a truth. But guess what? It's not just saying the words. It's being begotten again by the word of God and being born again by doing what he said. Listen to verse 22. He says, seeing how you purified your souls, how? in your obedience unto the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart then fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, who liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is grass, the grass withers, the flower falls. But guess what? The word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word of glad tidings. This is the gospel which was preached unto you, Peter says to Christians in general in that passage. So we're begotten again by the word of God. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, it tells us that the call is there. I want to read that passage, chapter 22 and verse 17. I almost lost it in my scriptures here, but listen. The Spirit and the bride, they plead, come. And he that hears would say, come. I've heard the gospel, and I suggest unto you and everyone else that would hear my words, come unto God. He calls you. Come, he that's thirsty, let him come. He that's willing, let him take of the water of life freely. You see, there's a response on our part that is required. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus put it this way. Listen carefully. Jesus said, if any man is willing, let him deny himself, take up his cross, that's his duty, and follow me. So the Lord gives us this idea associated with decision, if any man is willing. You see, you have a decision in reference to accept this call, to respond to his call or not. That's not a must in there. That's a willing to, a decision of desire, denial of worldly lust, and the concept of duty, and the concept of direction. Follow me. Go forth with me through this lesson as we talk about how God calls us. Because you see, when God calls us, you go to 1 Peter chapter 2 again, but this time in verses 6 through 10, and I want to show you what the Bible teaches to all of us who are sinners. In 1 Peter 2, he reports back to these Christians who have already obeyed the gospel, already were born again, and he reminds them of certain things. In verse 6, he says, because it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he that believeth on him, that cornerstone, remember that Jesus is the stone, the rock of the corner, the foundation stone, shall not be put to shame, he that believes on him. For you, therefore, that believe is the preciousness of those things. But such that would disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, that same stone was made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble at the word, being what? Disobedient. So whether Jesus is a precious cornerstone to us, or whether he is a stumbling block, is determined by whether or not we believe what he says and do what he says, or whether we are disobedient and do not do what he says. He goes on then in this passage in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, for you're an elect race. It's interesting to me that I think about brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. We're not talking about races as in red, yellow, black, and white. We're not even talking about nationalities, whether I'm Italian or Polish or Norwegian. But whether or not I am in the kingdom of God and my citizenship is in heaven. He says in this passage, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, God's people, that you may show forth the excellencies of him. I'm reading again from the American Standard Version in the New Testament. That you may show forth the excellencies of him. Some versions read that you may show forth the praises of him who called you where? Out of darkness, that's sin, unto his marvelous light, that's purity and righteousness, who in time past were no people, but now are the people of God. Those people who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In this same passage, if we go down in the context and simply read a passage like verse 21, for hereunto were you called. You see that God is not calling me specifically out of New Jersey into Arizona. But he's calling me out of darkness of sin unto righteousness and purity of life. And he says it this way in verse 21 of chapter 2, for hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. That guess what we should do? We should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, that is, Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he did not threaten back, but rather he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who, who, Jesus, his own self, bare our sins in his body upon the tree, the cross, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. You know what he says in the next verse? In like manner, you wives act a certain way. Down in verse 7, he says, and you husbands act in a certain way. In like manner, like what? Like Jesus. Wives, don't sin in your marriage as a wife. Husbands, don't sin in your life as a husband and as a man. But then he doesn't leave anybody out. In verse 8, by the way, all of you be like-minded, loving his brethren, so forth and so on. But then he says at the end of verse 9, for hereunto were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. Listen carefully to what is said now. For he that would love life and see good days, that's what I want. Let him then refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they would speak no guile, and let that man turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their supplication. Well, if I'm unrighteous, is God listening to my prayers? Not according to this passage. We all want to go to God in prayer when we have need of him. What about when we don't have need? What about when everything's coming good our way? Do we remember? And even if we ask God in reference to a particular element of healing of our loved ones, whatever it might be, and then we subsequently receive such a blessing, do we turn to him and give him thanks? God will listen to us if we have those attitudes and if we have listened to his call, accepted and obeyed the gospel. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, you see. His ears are open to their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. That's not good. And who is he that would harm you? Be zealous for that which is good. You know what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 3 through 5? He said, God has blessed us in every spirit with every spiritual blessing. Where? In Christ. Well, how do we get into Christ? He said, even as he chose us in him that we should be, we have purpose in our life, you see, according to God's call, that even as he chose us in him that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Those are all important passages. That we should be holy and without. You see, we have purpose in our life. So as much as last time we talked about grace and salvation by grace through faith that works the works afore prepared by God, we talk about how grace motivates us to obey the gospel. We suggested then that God says, cleanse your hands then, you sinners. Lift up holy hands. You know, it's not talking about waving your hands back and forth. It's not even talking about going to the restroom and washing your hands. It's talking about cleaning the sin out of your life. James chapter 4, 6 through 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. He says in Matthew 17 in verse 5, you see, the process by which we can cleanse our sin. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to what Jesus said. And I'm going to say this over and over again. Who said that? Jesus said in John 8 in verse 24, except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Do I need to believe? Who said that? Jesus said that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 in verses 3 through 5, except you repent, you will likewise perish in sin. Matthew chapter 10 in verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. If you do not confess me before men, if you deny me, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Simple passages, but who said that? The Savior said that. The Lord said that. The Christ said that. In Mark 16, 16, Jesus is the one who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism becomes important because Romans 6 tells us we crucify the old man's sin. Acts 22, 16, even the man Saul, who was later known as Paul the Apostle, it was told him in Damascus, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. No wonder Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved from his sin. Matthew 28 and verse 20, even after those have been baptized, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Who said that? Jesus said that. And he is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So Gary, wait a minute. Are you telling me that John 3:16 is not important? Of course it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But belief includes obeying the Lord. Why would you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do as I say? Luke 6:46. And then that passage in Hebrews 5:8-9. Though Jesus was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made complete or perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So you see, we're talking about the gospel's call, but as we suggested a minute ago, we suggested that it's a voluntary response on your part and my part. I want to talk about three other calls in the next few minutes that I have with you. The call of death is a must. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the scripture says plainly, it is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we see that God created man out of the dust of the earth. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 tells us that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And through the process of creation, according to God's command as creator, all of us have life in us because of Adam and Eve. Eve is the mother of all living. We're taught that in other places in the scripture. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, at the time of death, we hear the familiar phrase, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Man was came from dust, and to dust he'll return. But the spirit returns to God who gave it. So there's a call of death. And that can come at any time. And I really want to share James chapter 4 with you, verses 13 through 17. I'll skip down a little bit, but the passage is there for you to read at your leisure. James 4, come now, you that would say, today or tomorrow we go into the city, we'll spend a year there and get gain. Whereas you don't know what tomorrow will be, do you? What is your life? But a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. I'm 64 and a half years old, almost 65. And yet my life seems like yesterday I was 30. So fast. Life goes quickly in this life toward eternity. What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? For you ought to say, if the Lord would will, we will both live and do this or do that. But now you glory in your vaunties. He's chastising those Jewish dispersed Christians that he's writing to. But now you glory in your vaunting, all such glorying is evil. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What's the passage teaching? You don't know whether you'll take another 18-inch step. Neither do I. King David said in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, there's but a step between me and death. A friend of mine a couple weeks ago had a heart attack. We were concerned about life and death. Another person was killed in a car accident a short time ago. In an instant of life, he was gone. Maybe the Lord will come, but the scripture tells us plainly in the book of Matthew, no man knows the day nor the hour, and yet we find those who keep trying to tell us when that's going to come. But the Lord can come anytime, and you need to be ready. There's just a step between me and death, David said. Outside of Christ, we're subject to the bondage of sin and death. In Christ, one finds release. And that's why it says by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to die is gain. Let us never forget that the old must die and the young do die. Now God calls us again, a call that must be answered. It's referred to as the resurrection call. A simple passage in John chapter 5 and verses 28 and 29. Sometimes people are unfamiliar with what's going to happen. Go down to the local graveyard and think about this passage sometime. The scripture says, marvel not at this. Who said that? Jesus said that. For the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs will hear his voice. You see, everyone will be resurrected, but not everybody gets to go to heaven. All shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. Now, does that mean just all good moral men go to heaven? No, sinners don't get to go to heaven. Those who are in Christ and have responded to the gospel call, those are the ones who get to go to heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 16 through 20 in part, it tells us if Christ was not raised from the dead, then our preaching and our teaching is vain. It's just empty teaching. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And it reassures us that there will be a resurrection call. And all that are in the tomb will hear his voice. In Revelation chapter 14 in verses 12 and 13, listen to this passage, because so many people, as we talked in our last lesson, have said, it's not of works lest any man. That's correct, not meritorious works. but by working the works which God afore prepared that we should walk in as we taught then. And I heard a voice from heaven, John says, right blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works, you see, follow with them. We read those passages. God is not a God of dead, but a God of the living. Who said that? Jesus said that in reference to Matthew 22, 31 through 33. Now beware. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, there's another one. The last one we're going to talk about this morning is the judgment call. We said in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but listen carefully, then comes the judgment. You see, each man shall give account of himself unto God. Romans chapter 14 and verses 10 through 12. All will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen carefully to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we all shall be made known, made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things that we've done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. To give an account for the things that we've done in the body. Be prepared to meet your God, it says in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 in the Old Testament. You see, that still stands today. God is ready to judge the living and dead. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5, listen carefully. Let's read verse 4 also. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking even evil of you, who, those who speak evil of you, shall give account unto him that is ready to judge who? Both the living and the dead. We study through those passages carefully and we see them. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. That's why I'm a preacher of the gospel, to be honest with you. Now there is a time that to answer God's gospel call. Remember, it's voluntary, and we said that there are four calls, and four calls are in this direction. Number one, there's the gospel call that's you either voluntarily accept or reject. Jesus said it best, Matthew 16, 24. If any man is willing, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But then we also said that there is the death call. Death is a must. It is appointed. Every one of us has an appointment with death. And then comes the judgment. Now is the time, you see, to answer the gospel call. We talk about God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, 30 and 31. Inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the whole world in righteousness, and he has given us assurance in that he has raised Jesus from the dead. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 again. He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And now I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And read a passage at the end of the chapter. Him who knew no sin, he made sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God has a plan for us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now this is what I'm going to do with you. I want you to think about a passage in the Old Testament. Go read Psalm 86. It's a marvelous passage. But in part, verses 5 through 7, it says, God is ready to forgive. God is ready to pardon. Understand that. He's made that pardon, that forgiveness available in Christ Jesus. In other words, those of us who have responded to the gospel call. But as we read a minute ago, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5, God is ready also to judge both the living and the dead. I want to read the passage, a final passage for you, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, a passage we've read a couple of times now while I've been with you. But I want you to let this sink in again. In verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? In Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be how? Holy and without blemish before him in love. Go back to the passage we talked about, begotten again by the word of God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them, make them holy in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you see, God is ready to forgive and pardon. He's given us the gospel call. And today is the day of salvation. Let me take the time to encourage you to worship with those who meet on 8th Street in Mesa, Arizona. And when you have time, come visit us in Gilbert, Arizona. Again, I'm the preacher down at the Greenfield Road Church of Christ at 4325 South Greenfield Road in Gilbert, Arizona. I thank you for your time this morning. Turn toward God.